Amen. Let us pray. Amen. Father, we give you thanks. We thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayer. And Lord, that you move when we seek your face. And Father, we lift up Pastor John now as he brings forth from your holy word. Lord, may this instruction encourage us. May it prosper our souls. May it motivate us to action. Father, anoint him. Let the Spirit of God come upon him and through him. And Father, touch our hearts and minds. Father, we ask you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. I want to start out reading a scripture today from the book of Isaiah, chapter 46, verse 10 and 11. It says, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far-off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. There is no one like our God. Everything he does with a purpose in mind, with his purpose in mind. The events of this world are all ordered by him, always for good, for his glory, for the benefit of his kingdom, which fortunately means also for the benefit of his people, which is us. God is always searching, he's always searching for people he can use to help fulfill those plans. Sadly, sometimes he has to call in somebody from a far off land, as it says here, from a far off land, a man to fulfill his purpose. You would hope that there were always people waiting in the wings, just sort of waiting in line, ready and willing and able to just go and do whatever God wants, whatever God needs. But it's not always the case. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, we see how true that is. Isaiah, a prophet of God, was in the presence of God, and he was seeing a vision, and he, in fact, was in this vision. And it says in verse 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke, with the presence of God. Woe to me, I cried. Now this is Isaiah speaking. Woe to me, I cried, for I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and I have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, from the fire. And with that coal, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Then I heard a loud voice. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. Once again, God was looking for someone, and that someone was Isaiah at that point. And after he was cleansed, he was rescued, he was redeemed, he was purchased by God, he was cleansed by God, made holy by God, just as we've been. And God was asking, who can we send? Who is there? Once again, God was searching for someone. Again, he had to seek out someone. Who has my interests at heart? Who will do what I need done? Who is close enough to me to understand what I need, what I want, what I desire? You know, God knows what's going on the insides of our hearts. He knows who is drawn close to Him. He knows who loves Him. He knows who cares about His purpose and His will. In Psalm 139, it says, "You have searched me, Lord, and You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways." God knows what's going on inside of us. He knows those of us who are ready to answer the call. We can hide from God sometimes with our busyness, and oftentimes we do. But God is still searching. He's always searching for that one, for that person, for those people whose deepest desire is to draw close to Him, to get to know Him so that we can do His will. That's why we're told in Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near to God. Paul said it best in Philippians 3:8 when he said, "I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things." You know, this is the way God designed us to be. Our Creator designed us. He created us. He made us to be sustained by Him. If you remember last week, I talked about how Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of the Father." That's what sustains Him. God wants us to be close to Him so we can know His purpose, to know what needs to be done. But instead, unfortunately, God has to search for people, sometimes from a far-off land or a far-off place, to be able to fulfill His will, His purpose. Oftentimes we do come to God, but instead of getting to know Him and instead of getting to know what's on His heart, we rattle off our wish list, asking Him for everything that we can get, asking Him to fix everything that's broken, everything that we want, and then off we go on our merry way. And if that's where we stop in our relationship with God, that's being really selfish. I mean, what kind of a relationship would we have with somebody, someone that maybe we would maybe call a friend, if all we ever did was go to them and tell them our troubles, tell them what we thought, tell them what we needed, tell them what we wanted, and never even listened to them, just told them, talked to the whole time, told them everything, and then just went on our way? I'll tell you what, when you see someone like that coming, you look for someone else to talk to. That's not a friend. That's just somebody who's looking for a sounding board. That's no relationship. That person is consumed with their self. A relationship is a two-way street. Do we care about what our friends want? Do we care what they need? Do we care about our husband's wants or needs? Do we care about our wife's wants and needs, our children's, our parents', our friends? What's on their heart? What's on their mind? I hope we do. But even more important, do we care what's on God's heart? Do we really want to know what God feels, what He thinks, what He's concerned about, what He's, you know, what's going on right now that he wants to work in and work through, and you know, and whose life does He want to touch? Whose life does He want to change? How can I be used in that way? Do we give Him the time to reveal what He wants to share with us? Do we give him the time to let the Holy Spirit start to mix it up inside of us, to lead us, to guide us, to teach us, to instruct us, to remind us the things that it says the Holy Spirit does? The Spirit of God will always bring us back to God. The Holy Spirit will always remind us of His ways and His Word. Our relationship with God is supposed to be a two-way street, just like a true friendship would be with somebody we're close to. I'm sure that God gets tired of the wham, bam, thank you, man kind of prayers. He's searching for a people who are truly running after His heart. One of the greatest compliments God ever gave to somebody is found in Acts 13:22, where the Word is talking about David. We all know David. Many people just love David. A lot of people I know have said David's one of their favorites. And this is what God said about him. It says that God testified concerning him, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." Do you want to be there? That's where I want to be. I want to be a man after God's heart. Would you like to have something written about you? God testified concerning Donovan that he's a man after my own heart, or Randy, or Nancy, or Sharon, or Wes, or Carmen, or Bob, or Fred, or Carol, or Kim. Would you like to be written down in the... That's a person after my heart. God reads our hearts. He knows our hearts. He knows exactly what's going on in our innermost thoughts. He knows who's running after him. David was a man who was always trying to draw closer to God. He wanted to know God's heart. All throughout the Psalms, we find examples of David's prayer life. And these are great examples. That's why it's so good to read the Psalms, to see how a man who was after God's heart, to see how he prays, to see how he thinks, to see what's on his mind. Because when he's praying his heart, remember, he's after God's heart. So those are prayers that touch God. The Psalms are prayers that touch God. Psalm 63, 1 through 8 says, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I've seen you in the sanctuary and I've beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me." That's somebody who's gotten to know God. That's the kind of prayer we could read it, take it to heart, and let it become our prayer. Those are the words of a man who's desperately in love with God. Somebody who is after the heart of God. You know, when we hear other people praying or we read stories about someone or maybe we see somebody speaking, sometimes, you know, we may have a thought, you know, in our mind, like, do they really think like that? Do they really pray like that? I wonder if when David was praying like that, and it's written in the Bible, was it really the way he felt? Was it just a facade or a false front? It wasn't. And I know that for a fact. And you know how I know? Because God's Word tells us that he was a man after God's heart. So we know that that's a real prayer of a man that was chosen by God, a man that was anointed by God, a man that was loved by God, and a man who loved God more than anything in life. Psalm 119, 33 through 37. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, that I will keep them till the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the paths of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. That's the way a person thinks whose heart is after God. I want to look back for a moment to a scripture I just read, Acts 13:22, where God is quoted as saying, I found David to be a man after my heart. Now, if God found him, that means God must have been searching. Must have been searching for that guy. In 1 Samuel, we find that Saul had disobeyed God. This is in chapter 13. We find that Saul had disobeyed God, and the prophet Samuel had come to him, to Saul, to tell him that, you know, what you've done is wrong, and now your kingdom is going to be taken away from you, and it's going to be given to someone else. And it says in 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, but now your kingdom will not endure. This is to Saul. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. You see, he saw Saul, and he saw Saul disobeying his word. So God's thinking, I'm going to find me a man. I'm going to find me someone whose heart will be after me. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. The one who God sought was David. I sought a man and I found him, a man after my own heart. And you know that God is still searching today for men and women that are after his heart. When David was passing his mantle down to his son Solomon, here's what he said in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. The Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. The Lord searches every heart, and understands every desire and every thought. He knows where we're coming from. He knows who we are. He knows if we've been bad or good, so be good, for goodness sakes. If you seek him, he will be found by you. I'm still reading the scripture. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. If you seek him, he will be found by you. Unfortunately, the search, God's search, is not always successful. When God was looking for someone to turn Israel back to Him, to turn Jerusalem, actually the city of Jerusalem back to Him, we find in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. In all the town of Jerusalem during that time, he couldn't find a person willing and ready, able. He couldn't find someone who was there, who was ready to stand in the gap for him. That's how much the people of God had turned away from God during that time. How many times has God looked for someone to stand in the gap when His Word has been defiled, when His truth has been rejected or abandoned? How many times has He looked for someone to stand in His place, to speak His truth, to speak His Word, to do His will, and not been able to find anyone? It's sad to say, but it happens all the time. That's why God is searching for people who have drawn close to Him. People who have found His heart and are willing to stand up for His truth. Someone to stand in the gap. The perfect example that we have, of course, is Jesus. He was a man who was always after His Father's heart. Always. He was constantly seeking His Father's will. You know, He only spoke what the Father told Him to speak. He only did what the Father told Him to do. He was always led by the Spirit of God. He never moved for His own gain, for His own pleasure, for His own purpose. It was always He wanted to do the Father's will. And because He stood in the gap and perfectly fulfilled His Father's will, He gained the greatest victory that we have ever seen on this earth when He died on the cross and overcame sin and death and destroyed all the devil's plans. Jesus made it possible for us then to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He made it possible for us to now have that connection, a direct connection to our Heavenly Father, so that we could now become gap fillers. So that every one of us could stand in the gap. We have that ability. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making His appeal through us. See, God has called us to be His ambassador, to speak into this world, to speak into that situation as God would direct us, as God's heart would want to speak into that, as God's will and His purpose needs to be spoken into that. But for us to be able to do that, we need to have the heart of God. We need to know the mind of God. We have to be able to draw close to Him. We have to have been close to Him. Well, you might be thinking, I'm sure not any holy man, and I'm no holy woman. I'm not a leader. I don't have a big ministry. Maybe I'm not as smart as others. Maybe I'm not old enough. I'm not wise enough. Besides that, I've blown it an awful lot of times. And you know what? Every single one of us could say a lot of those things. Well, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13 tells us about David, a young boy, the smallest in his family, who was just a common shepherd out in the fields watching the flocks for his dad. When Samuel was looking to anoint somebody as the new king. And of course he went to the tallest, most handsome, brightest of the children. But that didn't work out. In verse 13 it says, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. Him is David, the little kid. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David. God can use us wherever we are. He called David in from the fields. Whatever we're doing, he was just out there watching sheep. Nothing special. He wasn't in seminary. He wasn't, you know, the worship leader. He wasn't the pastor. He wasn't, you know, the person who was doing, you know, all these high and mighty things, or he wasn't the person who was, you know, running the show. He wasn't the person who was wealthy. He wasn't old. He wasn't maybe that wise. He wasn't a lot of things. But apparently, he had one thing, a heart that was after God. God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He judges the heart. And then because the heart is right, he puts the anointing on us for the calling that he has for us. God's standard is not the world's standard. The world would have looked at David, this, it says a little kid with a ruddy complexion. Guess he had red hair, and he was probably a bunch of freckles, you know, just maybe a little pudgy, and you know, he's out there running around and probably playing with the sheep sometime and stuff like that. And you know, just being a kid, but still having a heart for God. Still killing a bear with his bare hands. Still killing a lion with his bare hands because he trusted in God. And he knew that if he had a job to do to protect those sheep, and because he trusted in God, he knew that God would give him the strength to take care of that lion, to take care of that bear. We don't have to be big or powerful. He wasn't. He wasn't flashy. What we need is to have a heart after God, to know what God wants us to do. How can we tell if that's where we are? Well, we use the same measuring stick that God does. When he says, I found David to be a man after my own heart, he goes on to say, for he will do everything I want him to do. See, there's the clue. Obedience. If you love me, you will obey my word. That's why we have to get close to God so we can know his heart and know what he wants us to do, so we can be led by his Spirit. We know that David was far from perfect. He made a lot of mistakes. He made a lot of mistakes. Some of them big time mistakes. Enough that would have got him killed. Adultery and murder, just to name a couple. There were a lot of mistakes he made in his life. And you know what? I am really glad that God let us see those mistakes. I think it was purposely put in there, all of his stuff, everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, was all in there so we could see that David was a real person. That gives us the assurance, that gives you and me the assurance that even though we've made a lot of mistakes, even though we've blown it many times, it's still possible in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our blowing it, in the midst of our failures, it's still possible to know that we can still have a heart after God. And that God will receive us. That he won't reject us when we humble ourselves and come before him. That's what David did. When he blew it, he humbled himself and went before God. David was not afraid to humble himself before God and even in front of others. He wasn't afraid to admit his mistakes and to press on into his desire to run after God. A heart that is humbled and broken will always be welcomed into the presence of God. It's the pride, it's the hypocrisy that makes God turn away from us. Humility is an open door to God. Brokenness is an open door to God. When we humble ourselves, God will welcome us in. In fact, He'll run to us, just like the father ran to the prodigal son when he came to his senses and he humbled himself. He was all ready to go home and say, "Father, I'm not worthy." His heart was humbled. The father knew it before he even spoke, before he even got there, and he was already out running to him. That's exactly how God will respond to you and to me when we're humbled and broken. The devil doesn't want you to believe that. He wants you to think it's too late. You've blown it. God can't use you anymore. Those are lies. Those are lies. God will always receive His people that humble themselves. David's priority in life was to be close to God, to bring Him glory and honor, to seek first the kingdom, His kingdom. What are the priorities in our life? Is God's kingdom a priority? It tells us in the Bible, in God's Word, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be added unto you. It tells us not to worry about this and that and this and that. Instead, to seek first God's kingdom. And to know how we can do that, we have to get close to God. We have to get His heart. Are we putting our desire for God above the desires for this world? If you are, God is calling out to you. If you are, God is searching for you. He's still searching for a man and still searching for a woman to stand in the gap right where you are, in your home, at your work, in your neighborhood, in your church, wherever you might be. God is looking for that person that is close to Him to stand up, to stand in the gap. He's still looking and He's still searching. He'll pass by this one because maybe he's too greedy. This one here is too concerned about what other people think. This one is just looking for recognition. This one only cares about pleasure, fun, money, power, selfish gain, selfish ambition, whatever. All those things, anything that is not focused on God, that's focused on this flesh, God can't use that person. And so He has to look past them in His search, because their priority is not first the heart of God, the kingdom of God. That can always change if they're humbled and broken, but they'll miss out. They'll miss out on that chance to be used by God, to be that world changer, to be that situation saver. God's looking for the one who puts Him at the top of their priority list, the one who loves to draw close to Him. So here's the question I want to leave with you today. I want you to think about this. When God is looking for somebody in your town, when He's looking for somebody at your work, in your job, when He's looking and searching for somebody in your home or in your church, when He's looking for someone to stand in the gap the next time, will you be there? Will you be the one that He can ask? Will you be bold enough to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me"?
Here I am, Lord, use me.
We need to get ready because time's coming. A time will be coming in your life when God wants to use you. Not just once. Not just at 3:15 on October 8th in 2014. It's going to be regularly. God, He's looking for people who are always ready. Ready to be used by Him at a moment's notice. The only way we can ever be that way is when we're close to Him. And we know His heart. Then the Holy Spirit will say, there, put out that fire. There, touch that person. There, speak to them. There, give them a call. There, say the word there. Say the truth. There, pray. Pray for that person. One person can change the world.